Welcome to The Sync Report, the intersection between independent filmmakers and songwriters, where we host a weekly conversation with award-winning filmmakers, marquee musicians, and leading music industry professionals. Meet industry experts and top-level songwriters as we pull the curtain back on music placement and scores, building vital relationships and providing real opportunities to our listeners. Listen to indie filmmakers present their latest productions and describe specific scenes as they consider music submitted by you, our audience. Hosted by music supervisor and former Sony Epic executive Jason P. Rothberg, along with your co-host and the godmother of indie films, Rose Gang. Music is the difference between a good film and a great one.
I'm Charlotte Schitt.
This is Tommy Farragher.
This is Maria Secor.
This is Milfredo Seven.
It's Craig Ross.
I'm Steve Bender.
Hi, this is Rose Ganguza.
And you're listening.
And you're listening.
And you are listening.
And you're listening.
You're listening.
Thank you for listening
to the now legendary Sync Report. Don't forget, tell your friends about us and remember to rate, comment and subscribe to the Sync podcast on Apple and across all platforms. This is Milfredo Seven and I have been paid a shed load of money to say that rubbish.
Thank you, Milfredo. And yes, this is the Sync Report. As always, we have funny man Jackie Martling here to help kick off our show. Welcome, Jackie.
I am only here for a brief moment. I'm not pulling a Bob Hope. I really got something I really, really have no choice and got to do. But I wanted to leave you guys with a few jokes and tell you I'll see you next time. All right, so a guy plays a solo gig and he gets done and he goes to the bar. And there's a nice looking lady at the bar and he goes, how you doing? And they have a couple drinks and she says, you know, I'm 57 years old. He says, you got to be kidding, 57. You look fantastic. She says, yep, I take good care of myself. 57, having a couple drinks. And she says to him, hey, did you ever have a mother-daughter? He says, no, are you kidding? No, but that's everybody's dream. Every guy's dream of mother-daughter. She said, I think tonight's your lucky night. So they have a few more drinks and they get in the car and go to her house. And they go in the front door and she yells, Ma, are you still awake?
Jackie.
Welcome to the Sync Report.
Thank you, Willow. I don't know who's harder to follow, you or Jackie. All right, with no further to-dos, let's get this show started. So everybody that's making the show is actually a musician, a songwriter, not just a songwriter, they're fantastic musicians and songwriters. And that definitely goes for our lead researcher and our script writer, Lisa Dunn. Welcome to the stage. Thank you for everything that you're doing on the writing side. We've been in with Susie Quattro, John Ayers, Jason Nesmith, Durwood Andrews. But forget all that. I want to talk about you tonight, Lisa, and specifically Rise Together, a new track that you're just finishing off. Tell us a little bit about your song, your writing process. Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, it just got finished a short time ago, but it actually was one of those songs, the few songs I didn't get done right away. It was sitting for about a year because the writing came out of kind of my emotional baggage of like watching what was going on with the whole Black Lives Matter and that stuff going on last year. And so I wrote the song. I knew I wanted a Nick Felt song, the song. He's a phenomenal producer and artist, and so I kind of held on to it because he was really busy at the time. And so it sat for close to a year, but I had like a full concept of like what I wanted. I knew the sound, I knew exactly kind of what I wanted. So we got it done and it turned out phenomenal. So I'm really stoked about that. And it's basically a gospel track. Nick is rapping on it, but I did all the writing and he did a little improv in the bridge section, but it's a really fantastic track. So I'm super, super excited about it.
Well, look, everything you have played me and submitted on this show has been phenomenal. I can't wait to hear this new track. Lisa, it's a pleasure to work with you on a daily basis. Thank you for your contributions with both sides of your brain. Yeah, if you are a fan of the show, you gotta Google, Spotify, whatever it is, check out Lisa Dunn and everybody I'm about to introduce from our cast. You're gonna love all of their music.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Lisa. We gonna find peace. We stand together. We need- What a great song, Lisa. Beautiful sentiment. I love the lyrics, the production. Incredible. Thank you for sharing with us. I'm excited to introduce everybody to our newest addition. Jennifer, welcome to the stage. Welcome to the madness. I know you've recently dropped a new single, Dropping Gems, which was submitted for the TV show. And I know Milfredo and Kevin loved it. It's going to definitely be synced in the show. But why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself in this track?
Sure. Thanks, Jason. My name is Jennifer Herbig, also known as A Girl Named Jane, J-A-E-N. I'm a award-winning singer, songwriter, artist, producer. And Dropping Gems came about because I was part of kind of a group that was writing as a collective for some music supervisors. And I got together with another singer-songwriter and a producer, named John Frame, and songwriter, artist named Sherilyn Keller. And I had this idea stuck in my little songbook for a while called Dropping Gems because I started hearing everyone say it. And I think it's been around for a while, the saying Dropping Gems, you know, simply meaning sharing wisdom like we do on this show. You know, there's constantly gems being dropped, you know, everywhere you turn on this show. And so the chorus is, I want to live in a world where people are spitting facts and dropping gems, where love is love, period, giving flowers because kindness wins. That's the world I want to live in. And so it ended up being really a positive song, actually. And it's kind of electropop, a little bit of reggaeton in there. And yeah, it's just a super fun song. I decided I just wanted to do something fun.
No, yeah, it's such a great song.
Thank you.
It's in fact, Milfredo, let's listen to a little bit of that track. That is great. Excellent. Jennifer, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that was brilliant. Next up, we have Jody, my dear Jody. Oh my God, this woman is so artistic, incredible. We fell in love with her music, listening to her submissions in Clubhouse, and she kindly signed up when we were asking for people to help us develop the show, and has completely brought our visual branding to such an incredible level. The podcast covers that you're looking at right now, that was designed by Jody, the flyers on social media, and so much more behind the scenes. Jody, welcome to the stage. So glad to have you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. I'm a songwriter and I write in many different genres. The song that I'm going to be talking about is called Endless Skies. It's a singer-songwriter tune that is an uplifting theme of coming home. It's a co-write with my brother Mitch, my nephew Nick, and Christine Ullman. And it's when
such
I started learning.
Such a beautiful title. What was the inspiration behind the song?
Well, when I started learning more about Sync and the theme of positive coming home songs, I do have to say it's a little easier. I'm a little on the right, darker, bluesy songs is a little easier. So I really wanted to focus on writing a positive song. And that's where Endless Skies came from.
I love it. I think we should listen to some Milfredo. Let's spin Jody's track.
The storm. My heritage, raised a little hell, got into some fights, realized I had known all along, had to go so far away to find where I belong. Along the way, someday a storm would carry me home unto the day of warm sunshine and nights of endless skies and the skies and the skies and the skies. Along the way, I knew someday a storm would carry me home into the days of warm sunshine.
Oh my God, so much incredible music tonight, and that is all the people making the show. I mean, this is just mind-blowing. Next on our hit list, Christoph, welcome back. The man with the earphones sitting behind the computer, making us all sound professional and beautiful. Chris, welcome to the stage. How are you tonight?
Hey, Jason. Hey, everyone.
So tonight, I'm not going to even ask you about what you're working on because I know you're buried in it. But at the same time of making our show, you're producing all this music, you're creating music, you're playing and singing. But I know you're working on a track called Dreaming Of. What is this track about? Tell us a little bit.
This track is an artist that I'm working with called Sol Morgan. He's from Birmingham also. The Birmingham crew. Whoa! Anyway, so I'm working with him. And actually, he's one of Paula's artists as well, actually. She's picked him up for management, so I'm really chuffed with that. And we started working on this funk track called Dreaming Of, and I managed to talk Sean Hurwitz into...
The guy that's been guesting on our show, the guitar player from Smash Mouth, is... playing with you now. That is
so he's playing guitar on the track, so I'm well chuffed. So I just got to mix and master that kind of thing and get it ready for release and see what he wants to do with the track.
Oh my God, so do we have something to play tonight, or are you just teasing us?
Yeah, you can have a little listen. You can have a little listen. See what's going on. You can give me your opinions and stuff.
I think Milfredo's penetrated your hard drive and stolen it anyways. We're going to play it no matter what. So, Milfredo, let's hear that track.
That's what made us who we are. That's because you saved me. Thank God you saved me. But if we keep on and have patience, you never know where it's going to take us, baby. They say that still the greatest. Now we made it here. Together. It's so crystal clear. We could do whatever. We could do whatever. This is what
awesome. Chris, you rock. All right. And now, of course, our co-producer, the queen of the staff, Paula Flack, the woman I adore her voice every time she starts to speak on this platform. But Paula, we're not going to put the pressure on you to talk about what you're doing, because I know it's just too much to even talk about. I want to talk a little bit about you. You know, I actually met you, God, I think it was like 15 years ago while I was working with Donovan. Was it? Easily. I think you're right. I think it could have been. And you were actually overseeing.
It might even have been
20
years ago.
Oh my God. Come on. You're dating me, Paula, at this point.
I know. Sorry. It makes me feel really old when I say stuff like that.
It was last week. We were doing this last week, Paula.
I know.
I've had the pleasure of knowing you, I think, the longest of anybody on the show. You've been a friend of mine since those days. You did an incredible job as marketing director for EMI, re-releasing the Donovan material. And I know you've done hundreds of other artists at that caliber and higher. And now you've moved into management. You're obviously still doing marketing for our show. You're producing television. Tell us about you and catch us up. What are you doing outside the Sync Report world?
Oh gosh, outside the Sync Report world. Well, I'm just basically trying to drag my children to every cultural opportunity that there is in London.
I see that on your Instagram. You're literally doing that. No, but start with the beginning. Tell us like those EMI days.
The EMI days. It's all a bit of a haze, to be honest. But I can tell you about one of the first artists I work with was Dame Shirley Bassey. I remember she was one of the first ones. And we did a photo shoot with her. And I think she turned up about 6 hours late. But we got some amazing photos. And I remember I was just an assistant in those days. And she was quite unsure about what she wanted to wear from the clothes that we had chosen for her. So we had this whole wardrobe that we'd borrowed from Harvey Nichols in London, which is a very famous, very expensive department store.
Yeah.
And she wasn't sure what she wanted to wear. And I helped her put her outfits together. I think I was about 20 at this point.
Oh, but how cool.
Those are the highlights, really. And then just towards the end of my time at EMI, I worked with Glen Campbell. He did an album called Meet Glen Campbell and came over to the UK on tour to promote that album. And I've never worked with, apart from you, Jason, I've never worked with such an incredible team of people. They were just so nice. But obviously, it was just a few years before he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So bit of a shame. Yeah, such a huge loss. And I also worked with another one, Bobby Womack. And I remember he came over because his song California Dreaming was used on a Saab TV advert. And I remember he insisted he had to be flown over first class, which was fair enough.
Oh, wow.
From Los Angeles. And he came over and did a performance on Jules Holland. And I remember that the Killers were on. It was their first ever UK TV performance. And I remember Brandon Flowers running over to Bobby afterwards saying, "Oh my God, I love your music. You're such a huge influence in my life." I think Bobby was like, "Yeah, you know," he was just really cool about it. And at the time, he wasn't feeling great, actually. He had a really sore throat when he did that performance. And I also remember sitting in the changing room with him, and he was up for a couple of hours, and he was telling us all these stories from his life, basically. And unfortunately, I don't remember any of it, which is really depressing.
You sound like me.
Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it?
Next up is my best friend at the moment, my music supervisor. Talking about music and just getting on the phone with her is one of the highlights of my day. Jess Rodriguez, welcome to the stage. I'm not going to talk to you about all the work that you're doing here. Again, tonight we're talking about the music my crew is creating, and I want to hear about all the voices. You have a song called All the Voices. Tell me a little bit about yourself, your technique, and especially about this song.
Oh, thanks. I have my hand kind of in a lot of different projects, and so I'm making a lot of music all the time. This is sort of newly finished, and I plan to release it next year. I think I'm going to do my debut album. I'm trying to plan some music videos and big scary things that I've never done.
Wait a second,
before.
So we have a world premiere happening tonight. Is this what you're calling us?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so
I'm excited.
Not sure if this will be the title track or not yet for the album, but it's definitely going to be one of the singles and probably a music video as well. So I love it. It's fairly broad. It's, you know, the chorus is like, "I want you, I can't find you." It's a little danceable, but it's just dark pop. So talking about a little.
But you do so well.
Thank you. Yeah, talking about just how my mind is very busy all the time. Who knew? And yeah, how it can get to be a little it can get to be a little heavy, that kind of thing. So it's just an expression of that.
Well, I think our audience is going to have a lot in common with that. I'm not waiting another second. I got to hear it. Milfredo, let's hear that song.
Excessive and senseless. I'm drowning in all the noise. There must be something more. There must be something more. There must be something. I want you. Oh, I can't find you. Oh, I don't know how to.
Wow, Jess, that is gorgeous. I love that track. Everybody wants to get to the interview, but more than that, I know everyone out there listening wants to hear about the sync opportunities. Jess Rodriguez, my music supervisor, who is the gatekeeper to all submissions. That's jess.syncs@gmail.com if you want to submit. Jess, tell us who is being spotlighted for their sync opportunity tonight.
Well, we have three submissions for Ray Lee's zombie feature based in the Malaysian jungle, a new take on zombie movies you might have seen in the past. He's won over 22 awards at different film festivals. It's being screened around the world, and he's just went from, you know, it's like an indie filmmaker dream of growing and growing your audience and getting more notoriety. And so I just hope all the success for them.
It's incredible, this guy's story. He wanted to make movies. He's always wanted to make movies, but he didn't have the funds to do it. So this guy opens up a guitar store that turns into opening up a music school. And the money generated from his businesses, he put into making this film. And now, like you said, 22 awards. It's blowing up, and he's brought his trailer to us to find music for his trailer. How exciting. Jess, so how can more people submit to this?
Well, we are always accepting for ongoing opportunities at jess.syncs@gmail.com. If you want to get on the mailing list, just reach out, and we have a disco link that we can send out, and you can upload directly. And I am always listening and going through submissions. It's always great stuff.
She's not lying. She is always listening. She's listening. She always is listening.
I'm listening. Jess, watch out.
Jess, this is great. Thank you so much. I'm excited for the finale of the show, but now it's time to pull Paula up and hear who's on stage next.
Okay, we've got an awesome lineup this week. Our first guest is the godmother of New York indie films, Rose Ganguza, whose credits include Kill Your Darlings, The Words, Margin Call, New York, I Love You, and most recently, Poms with Diane Keaton and Pam Grier. Really funny film.
Did you see it?
It's really funny. Hilarious. Yeah. She's
brilliant. Yeah. Amazing. What an amazing interview to start with. Brilliant. Oh my God. So exciting. Yeah. And then I guess for our second hour, we are welcoming back Ray Lee, filmmaker Ray Lee, the new song for the zombie trailer for Ray. And Damn, now that's a show. I want to tune in. Where's that? What channel is that? Oh, wait, sorry. Yes, that's the Sync Report. Yes. And Rose, welcome to our most humble stage. I mean, absolutely phenomenal, your credit. It took me 20 minutes to go through the IMDb list alone. And your life and career start way before that, you know, in such diverse areas. And, you know, getting a chance to talk with you and get to know you has just been an incredible pleasure. And I'm so excited to have you here today. Thank you, Rose.
Thank you, Jason.
So, you know, I want to, obviously, I'm dying to get into the film, and there's so much music-related material with your films and documentaries. But let's start a little bit earlier than that. You know, before you're even in New York, I think you were actually managing sports talent. Pele, is that correct?
Pele,
How did that happen?
Oh, that was weird. Well, I had done my graduate work at Columbia University and my doctorate in international affairs. And I was given a full fellowship at Columbia. I was the only woman in my class at the graduate school. And they gave me a full fellowship because I taught myself how to speak what they considered, or the State Department considered, a dead language, which was Portuguese. So, yeah. And so when I got out of Columbia, I got called by Warner's, Time Warner in those days, Steve Ross, and said that they wanted to bring this soccer player to New York and they wanted to start a soccer team, which was the New York Cosmos. But they needed someone to negotiate the deal. And that's how I met Pele. And
incredible.
Yeah. Years later, Fisher Stevens and I did a documentary with John Batsick in London called Once in a Lifetime about the Cosmos and how it all came to be. And I'm interviewed in that. You know, I helped get everybody on camera. And yeah, it was quite a story. Actually, it was the Erdogans that convinced Steve to, you know, to start the soccer team. And eventually there was a league and met some really amazing people in those days. I mean, the games in those days, you know, if I could tell you, like, you know, in the locker room after each game, there were like people like Jagger and Elton John and, you know, and it was just incredible. Rod Stewart and, you know, like all sorts of people were like really
Rod Stewart's still running around. He does this thing called Soccer Six.
Yeah.
Actually on the field playing.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. Those guys are amazing. And actually at one point, Elton John had money and an interest in the Aztecs, which was the LA team.
And it's really funny. It seems like it's kind of come full circle thanks to Beckham. There's, you know, all these American, you know, we call it soccer, but it's actually football.
It's football.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, it's incredible. The fans and, you know, the super fans and the celebrities that are attracted to this. So yeah, I guess that energy just makes sense. But I mean, it's mind blowing that you kind of go from Columbia, you get your doctorate, you self-teach yourself Portuguese, you become this manager. And how do you, I mean, I think it's theater that comes next. Am I correct? Is it kind of...
What? Oh yeah. Then with my cousin at the time, Jerry Orbach, was about to start in a musical called Chicago. And I thought, oh, well, that would be during the day. I was working at the Brazilian consulate. And at night, I would run over to the 46th Street Theater and work on Chicago. But I was there during the whole preparation. And when Fosse had his heart attack and we got pushed back 6 months, when Gwen Verdun got polyps on her vocal cords and Liza came in.
Oh, my God.
And it was just amazing. And that was how I met Liza and Cheetah Rivera and all those people in the day. But Liza and I stayed very close for lots and lots of years. And got introduced really up close and personal to Kander and Ebb.
My father was a fan of theater and musicals. And I really think that's kind of where my first love of that combined art of visual and music started. Music seems to be so important in your films. Is that, do you kind of feel that came from the theater?
You know, for me, music punctuates story, you know, and I think that being involved in theater first was really important, because especially musical theater, I should say, working on Chicago and then Chorus Line and, you know, shows like that, and being with the greats like Fosse and Kander and Ebb and Michael Bennett and Marvin. It was a special time here in New York. It was a special time in theater. And
it was like the golden ages of Hollywood.
It was the golden age.
Yeah.
Yeah. And after show every night, we'd go to Joe Allen's and hang out, you know, and sometimes we'd go to Don't Tell Mama, which is where a lot of people from Broadway would try out their new acts or their new songs. And we don't have that.
No. Oh, my God. What incredible.
It's really unusual. So years later, A&E had been wanting Liza to do a biography. In those days, A&E was doing biography, and they were willing to spend a lot of money to do it. And she was resisting because they wanted to do a 2-hour special. And she said, I won't do it unless Rose produces it. And I'd already done stuff for A&E. But the key was, how do you tell Liza's story without Cantor and Ebb? So, and their music isn't exactly cheap, you know? No. And this comes to the point of, we all have songs that we love, but sometimes we just can't afford them. And I had to go begging. I went to Fred Ebb's apartment, and he was dying at that point. I was able to do the last interview that Fred Ebb ever did.
Unbelievable.
In his kitchen, and John Cantor came over and was able to get them to give us the music, which was key to the success of the documentary.
Amazing. Well, I mean, that's actually such a good point for our filmmakers in the room. You know, if you don't ask, you don't get, right, Rose?
Yeah. You know, and I'm fine. I mean, I just did, like, over COVID, I remotely produced an indie film in Kazakhstan. And because it really, the story resonated with me. And I didn't know what I was going to do for music for this woman. She was a first-time filmmaker. And it was a beautiful story. And I called Reeve Carney, who, of course, had been the lead in Hadestown for all of this time. Was before that, Bono and the Edge had discovered him. And he was Spider-Man on Broadway for many, many years. But Reeve, and he's now doing the Jeff Buckley biopic. But Reeve is a consummate musician. And I said, Reeve, would you write a song and do the underlying theme for the, it was like under $1.5 million budget. It was a very small film. I didn't do it to make money, obviously. No. And he said, yes. And he wrote one of the most beautiful original songs. Then I said, Reeve, send me your wiring instructions so that I could pay you. And he goes, I'm going to get paid. And I was just doing it as a favor to you, you know.
Right. Amazing.
Which I thought was so sweet. But of course, we paid for it, you know. But it's just, it's always good to have multiple relationships around the world. And sometimes they come in handy with regard to music, because as you know, as a music supervisor, music is not cheap.
No, and it really is. It's about your relationships and being able to knock on the right doors. You know, maybe you can tell us the Mancini story.
So right after Audrey died, Sean Ferrer, her son, and Luca Dotti, her other son, and I met here in New York, and we decided to start the Audrey Hepburn Foundation. And one of the first things that I to benefit the three African countries that she was working with for UNICEF, I first put together a very large board of directors that included all of her contemporaries and her friends. And at the time, it was like Lauren Bacall and people like Gregory Peck and, you know, the old timers. And I thought, you know, we're doing a thing called Hollywood for Children here. We're traveling around the world with it. I think we need to go to kids to send this message. Seven. And I then went to Natalie Portman and Jonathan Taylor Thomas, the Olsen twins, anybody who was big at the time who was under the age of 12. And we formed the first ever, probably, children's board. And I traveled around the world with these kids. Jeez. Until today, you know, they're all adults and most of them have really wonderful careers. And I've maintained relationships with most of them into their adulthood. Right before 9/11, I had gone to A&E with the idea of doing a documentary series called At the Movies. And the first one was going to be New York at the Movies. And it was going to trace the history of a city and cities as characters in films. So A&E said, well, let's do New York first. And literally right after that decision was made, 9/11 happened. Mm-hmm. And we just took our cameras out and we started interviewing everybody, Marty Scorsese, Bogdanovich, Liza, Lauren Bacall, everybody was in New York at the time. And I asked Meryl Streep to be the host for the show. Amazing. And it was a 2-hour documentary, which eventually was at the Academy Awards that year when the Woody Allen piece and Nora Ephron, who was in it as well. And then it went to Cannes and everything else. But clearly, I mean, getting clips is number one, a huge expense.
Yeah.
We spent a wad on clips with the studios, you know, Godfather, everything else. And then we needed to get the music. And there were two pieces of music that were key. And the main one for me was Moon River. And fortunately, at the time, I knew I had just met Henry Mancini, who was still alive at that point. I was able to get that piece into the documentary because of that relationship. The second piece of music was Everybody's Talking from Midnight Cowboy.
Mm.
And we paid through the nose for that one. It was amazing. He was a very giving person, obviously very close with Audrey. And as most of you probably know, Blake Edwards, who is the director of Breakfast at Tiffany's, didn't want that song to be in the movie.
Oh, no, I didn't
want Audrey singing that song at the window to be in that movie. You know, and better decisions prevailed and the song stayed in. And it's the thing that we most remember mm-hmm. about Breakfast at Tiffany's. But, you know, everybody loved Audrey and it was about giving her props and that playing it when we see that scene of her going to Tiffany's with the croissant in one hand, the coffee in another. There's nothing more iconic New York than that scene and playing that song over. It gives me goosebumps every time I hear it.
Oh, what? I mean, unbelievable that you just part of so many important moments that, I mean, we'll be talking as music lovers. We're going to be talking about this for the rest of our lives into our kids' lives. I mean, incredible, Rose. And we haven't even like scratched the surface. So time is getting on. There's a couple more points I want to cover. You know, I keep seeing this name, Antonio Campos. Who is this amazing young director and where did he come from?
Came from me.
Amazing. Something else that came from. So this is your son, right?
Yes.
Incredible. And how is it like working with family on that close of a level? Is it?
Yeah, we talk every day as production in the mornings and at night we talk as mom and child.
Smart. You can actually disconnect and define the two.
Yeah. Lines. I mean, and we help each other out. You know, I have a lot of relationships. He has a lot of relationships now, thank God. And we're always helping each other.
With film production and music, I mean, there is no weekends. There is no nighttime.
No.
So it must be twice.
And he has an incredible taste for music. I mean, his films are, you know, when he did Devil All the Time, I mean, kind of doing a deep dive into that kind of Appalachian sound and everything. And that film was, you know, just the soundtrack. I mean, I listened to the soundtrack over and over again. It's one of the most brilliant soundtracks ever, you know, and the underlying themes in it and all. But he has a huge knowledge of music. And I think that comes just from
growing up in your house, lady.
Me and me dragging him to concerts and, you know, stuff like that.
I mean, unbelievable. What I could just hear the pride in your voice as you're talking about him. It's just, yes, we should definitely have Antonio in the room.
Oh, he would love it. Yeah, he would totally love it.
Amazing. Well, Rose, before we let you go, I would love if you're comfortable. I know you have, you know, a half dozen projects on the go constantly, but I've had the honor to read two of your scripts. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about Mary's Monster. Maybe we could talk quickly about Toynbee Convector.
Yeah, Toynbee Convector.
I mean just Mary's the deck on Monster, that is incredible.
We actually conceived Mary's Monster as sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And funnily enough, everybody coming onto that project as actors are also singers. Like Percy Bysshe Shelley is being played by Ferdia Walsh-Pilo, who of course is one of the stars of the new movie Coda, but he was the star of Sing Street and has his own band. And Charlie Heaton, who's from Stranger Things, but also has his own band. And, you know, so it's like, you know, Harry Styles is going to do music for it. And, you know, like it's, so we set that up with Full Wall 73, which is James Corden's company, because of the music elements of it. And so even though we're telling a story about the early 1800s, it's going to have a very, very cool soundtrack.
Incredible. So this is the Mary Shelley story.
Music. Yeah, with contemporary artists and, you know, and underlying classical themes and then going into more rock and roll, you know.
Oh, so fun.
Yeah, because they were like hippies, you know, they were all doing drugs and sleeping with everybody. And, you know, that's what it was. It was, you know, and Toynbee, which is based on a Ray Bradbury piece we're doing with the director, Nick Pesce, who is so brilliant. And that one is going to be a lot of fun because it's kind of futuristic and very Terry Gilliam-ish, you know, Monty Python, you know, it's just really, really a very, very cool project. And, you know, we want that soundtrack to really lift the story in, you know, really special way. We even did it in Kill Your Darlings where we had, you know, obviously 40s jazz, but then we threw in contemporary songs. So mixing those things is interesting.
And it works really well together. You know, as long as it's complementing the story, it doesn't really matter when these songs were made or, you know, even what genres are.
No. I mean, we've been really lucky, like Kill Your Darlings, you know, Decca really helped me. Bocelli's people put me in touch with Decca, and Decca like was just like playing their catalog, the Decca catalog, the whole time we were filming just to get into the mood of the 1940s.
Brilliant. And there couldn't be a better catalog for you.
Oh my God. Yeah. Amazing.
Rose, what a journey. And there's just so much that we couldn't even get to. So, you know, we're going to have you
back. We'll do it again, Jason.
Rose, you're an angel. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Jason. It was lovely speaking to all of you. And thank you for having me on.
Oh, our pleasure. Well, thank you, everyone.
And we'll talk during the week.
You know, I'm going to bug you all the time.
Okay, honey. Take care.
I love you, Rose. Thank you.
Bye.
By the way, Edge, have you checked out the new website?
Yeah.
Did you see it? Don't you love it? Did you see your picture?
My pic? Yeah.
You went to twocentsmusic.com, right?
Twocentsmusic.com? I will.
Oh, thanks, Edge. You're the best. And thank you, Blaster Web Services. You're the best, too. We love the website you created for the Sync Report. Blaster Web Services is a full-service web development team. They can build the most brilliant websites using the newest and latest web designs. Just check out what they did for us, www.2centsmusic.com. That's cents with two S's. Thank you, Blaster Web Services.
Happy autumn. I'm Charlotte Church, and you're listening to The Sync Report.
Thank you, Charlotte. And now it's time for the sync opportunities.
For Ray's project, we're looking for music for his trailer. Ray has won 23 awards off the back of this film. The film continues to get placed in festivals and win awards and is screening all over the world, from Japan to Russia to America. I mean, this guy is killing it on every level. Ray, are you there? You fall asleep?
No, I'm here. Yeah. I'm your great supporter.
I'm your great supporter. I'm your biggest fan. So tell us about the film. Tell us about all your success. Brag a little. Don't be shy.
Okay. This movie, the title is Zombie Infection. And in our native language is Balaban Hidup. Balaban Hidup means fight for life. So this is the first indigenous film in Malaysia. The language that we are using is one of the endangered language in the world. This, I don't know, you guys heard about this tribe called the tribal people called the Iban people. So no. in the Borneo Island, the third largest island in the world. So I started this film as a short film in 2016. So we complete the short films and we present to the funder and present to the Malaysian National Film Development Corporation, and they decided to give us fund in 2018. So we took about six months to eight months to finish the script. We started the production in 2019. Then we complete all the post-production like coloring, editing in the mid of 2020. And then we joined about 50 film festivals from all around the world, and we bagged about 20 international awards. I think the biggest award that we achieved is in Mexico, the biggest horror film festival, the Macopro International Horror Film Festival. I just encourage all the indigenous people in Borneo to archive their endangered language and culture through film and music. This is my my humble beginning. Thank you. Thank you for having me, Jason. Back over to you.
Ray, I mean, he's such a humble guy. I mean, he's not even bragging about the awards he's winning and where his film is screening. I mean, this guy, he started his own music school and music store to help him fund his dream of making films. And here he is, like, screening his film around the world and winning awards. It's just amazing. Let's see who's in the room that submitted music for Ray's film. Is Diana in the room? Do we have Diana? We're going to play Derwitt's music during his interview. So who else do we have? All right, let's start with Dylan's, actually. Dylan, why don't you introduce yourself? That sounded really cool. Obviously, he's looking at Ray's trailer for this horror film. Dylan, welcome to the stage, man.
What's up, Jason? Everybody, oh my God, this room is so cool. Yeah, okay, so the song does have the F-bomb in it.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, but I, you know, watched what I could of The Infection, and come on, man. I mean, it was just totally
You gotta amazing. Drop the F-bomb, I guess, huh?
Right. I could edit it out.
Yeah, excellent. So what was the inspiration from the song? Because that was obviously recorded prior to the submission.
Yeah, it comes from a record called Revolutionary Road. And I had been performing with the drummer of the legendary band Television, Billy Ficca. And we recorded 10 songs, and that was one of them.
Wicked. Well, there's lots of energy there. So, Ray, why don't we put you on the spot? How do you feel? Did you like the song? Could you hear this in your mind's eye and see it as part of the trailer?
Yeah, because my trailer is 1:40. And I think this song is suitable for zombies because it's like the rhythm and the melody, I think it's okay for the teaser. Like maybe like less than 1 minute, I think should be okay.
Right. So after this, basically we listen to the music for the first time here, and then I'm going to send you all the music so you can kind of live with it, play it to your trailer. And next week we'll figure out if anyone submitted something that fits. And if not, we'll keep on looking for you.
How to say, I have no particular genre in my mind. I think this song is quite nice for a zombie genre kind of movie.
Cool. Well, Dylan, thank you for the submission. We'll be listening to this in private, all these songs more in private, and come back with more notes next week.
I don't know if you can hear me. It's sort of cut out, but I could do a cut down to 1:40 or whatever the exact time was.
This is a great point for both the filmmakers and the musicians. No, you wouldn't have to make an edit for us, but you do need to submit, like I've been saying, we want the instrumental as well as the full track. Sometimes I may ask you for your stems depending on the project. So just be prepared with all those bits so that you can turn that stuff around quickly for your music supervisor. And we would be able, in the editing bay, sync the song to the piece. So Dylan, thank you again. Why don't we go ahead, let's play some Derwitt's music. Derwitt, am I right? This is the right track for Ray?
Yes.
Excellent. All right. This is exactly what I wanted to hear. So let's go ahead and go into this one. Derwitt, wow. So that has that great energy. Tell us a little bit about the song and your headspace when you were writing that.
I was out of my mind, and it was Westworld.
Yeah, Westworld. Tell us a little bit about Westworld.
We had a few hits in Europe in the late 80s, and it was a ultra beatbox rock and roll pop band, and it lasted about 5 years, which is pretty good for a pop band. Yeah, that's it.
Incredible. I love it. So over to you, Ray. What do you think about that tune?
Wow, this song really matched. The music really do the talking for a zombies movie. This is like a pop rock electronic kind of feel, right? I love this song. I mean, this melody is really match my trailer.
We did actually record the devil as well, so he's on there.
I got the feel for the trailer.
How exciting. Gosh, this week I'm just so pleased with what we're hearing already. You know, what a difference from week one when we actually, again, we had some great music, but completely off track from what the submissions were looking for. So thank you everyone for listening and focusing on what the filmmakers are looking for. Yeah, this is great. Derwitt, thank you so much for that. Again, everybody going through submissions for these amazing opportunities that these independent filmmakers are making for us. Thank you everyone for joining us, and tapping in. Ray, thank you for joining us at this ungodly hour for you. Excellent, Jess. We got your track ready. Why don't you say a quick hello, introduce yourself, tell us what we're about to hear.
Well, I actually sent you two. I sent you one for Dirk and one for Ray. So I think you downloaded Fraud, which I intended for Ray.
Well, Ray's still in the room. So which one do you have, Jess? What do we have?
Okay. So this is kind of dark and like haunting. If it were to be a trailer, it would be kind of like slow and maybe minimal. You know, it's missing some hard hits and taiko drums. But yeah, I'm a singer-songwriter, sync composer, and working with a couple teams of collaborators. This song, actually both of the songs that I submitted, are done by me and my producer, Anel Saucedo. She's from Mexico. So we're an all-female team, but she lives in Canada. So we have like the whole North America covered, I suppose, represented. Sorry, this room is incredible. I'm just excited for the opportunity. And thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Jess. And don't worry, I'll make sure that Dirk gets the other track. But for right now, we're back on the zombie trailer. Awesome. So yeah, very, very haunting and definitely loads of space in this track. Again, it's like, I don't know, maybe it's just my personal preference, but I love working with tracks like this. Now let's ask Ray. I don't know if Ray's still awake, but if Ray's awake, let's see how he's feeling for the trailer.
Yeah, I'm awake. Yeah, definitely. I can't sleep actually, but so many good songs here. So many music. I get excited. Yeah. Thank you, Jess. Your music can really shoot some of my scene. Like there's a scene of a mother's like poking her eyes. You know, she trying to blind her eyes in order to save her child from, I mean, because she's going to become a zombie. She realized she's going to kill her child. So before she turned to a zombie, she poked her eyes and blinded herself. I think this song, I mean, the beginning is very dark, very empty. The sound of bell, good composition. Yeah, I love it. Good effort, Jess.
Excellent. Thank you, Jess. Yeah, I agree with him. I think it's definitely a super interesting track. I like your approach. And again, we will be listening to these songs in their entirety when we go through it with the visuals. So thank you, Jess. Lovely submission. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you so much.
You can submit to jess.syncs@gmail.com. Please, one song per person, include the instrumental, and make sure all the metadata is beautiful with PRO, writers, publishers, anyone who has ownership in the song, contact information. Make it easy to organize. I would love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you to Rose Ganguza, Ray Lee, and all our indie artists. What a kickoff. Join us next week when we have our own Jackie the Joke Man Martling in the hot seat. Until then, be well.